welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tom Birkinshaw and today's guest is Helen Plumridge, CEO at King Recruit and King Exec. Helen started her recruitment journey over 20 years ago, spanning from small startups to larger recruitment firms. After taking a break from recruitment and learning the foundations of what it takes to make a good business, Helen launched King Recruit, an executive search, technology, marketing, finance and HR recruitment company based in the southwest of England. Helen partnered with Recruitment Entrepreneur in 2021 when she made the decision to scale her business and now has a team of six and is quickly becoming the leading executive search firm in the southwest. Helen joins us today to talk about management success and team growth. Helen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Tom.
So let's kick off. Tell me about your role at King and King Recruit.
Okay. Firstly, you know, I've got 20 years experience in recruitment coming up to this year. Started King Recruit 5 years ago and, founder and owner of King Recruit and King Executive. So we're a leading recruitment and search firm based in the Southwest region. And effectively, I head up the exec side and then we've got a team of six, all with different functionalities across our business that are tailored towards working predominantly with SMEs.
And you said 20 years in recruitment.
That's right.
So when you were younger, was that something you set out to do? Was that the vision, the goal to get into recruitment and set up your own business?
Of course not.
Is it ever?
No. So it is a cliche and everyone says it, but yes, I did fall into recruitment. But I think I always wanted to do something entrepreneurial. I think that was in my roots somewhere from when I was little. And I remember watching, I don't know if you ever remember, Tom, watching LA Law.
And, aware of it.
There was this woman in LA Law and she was this hotshot, sort of cool businesswoman. I remember thinking, oh, I'd love to be like her when I grow up.
And that was your inspiration?
The fact my dad saw it, you know, he was senior management in the Royal Mail for years and always very sort of diligent and conscientious and hardworking. And yeah, I just always knew I would do something. Fell into recruitment, fell into Blue Arrow, as you do.
Yeah.
That was my first job in recruitment. And I think I got to the point where I went to work for an independent and it was two women running it. And I was just inspired by them. And I just thought, oh, this is, you know, you could do more. There was more sort of flexibility in things like doing marketing. There was no sort of corporate edge to it.
Yeah,
felt
a bit more freedom.
Really liberating. And they'd done it and they'd been back to do it. And I think, I took my inspiration from them thinking, you know, I'd like to at some point set my own recruitment business up. So
going into it, and like you said, it's the cliche in kind of the sales environment, but obviously particularly recruitment today. And it's actually really hard to be a really good recruiter. It's quite a dilute market. There's a lot of recruiters, there's a lot of sectors, there's a lot of businesses. To stand out from that, it's very easy for everyone to say, oh, you know, I fell into it. But to kind of stick and maintain that, going into recruitment, people underestimate the talent they actually need to be successful, especially in a big corporate like Blue Arrow, Randstad, Manpower and things like that. So to kind of sit here 20 years later, there must be a moment you look back, and even though you went into it and fell into it, that you're quite proud of obviously being, you know, where you are today off the back of that.
I think I've just always loved it. Always loved it. And I think the people that stay in it love it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a bit of a drug, isn't it?
Bit because, of a passion.
Yeah, I mean, I never get bored of that. You know, I'm waiting on a offer to complete today and, you know, I've been checking to see if someone's...
Yeah,
on the train, waiting for her to come back. Never get tired of the buzz. And I think a lot of people are like that in recruitment.
So going on from that and working at Blue Arrow and then working for the two ladies that you then ended up working for, did you feel that the corporate environment, Blue Arrow, just wasn't for you? You wanted to kind of... Did you look to go like into recruitment again? Is that how that role came about? Or were you kind of open to seeing what was out there at the time and you kind of then saw this job and thought, well, I've got some experience, this will work for me as well?
Blue Arrow was a bit of a baptism of fire. The boss was she was quite a customer really. She was very hard to work for and she sort of, you know, chewed up many consultants. And the one, the company I went to work for, the two ladies, it was called Caliber. They just embodied, they had a cool brand, you know, they seemed to be a bit of a name in the market. So there was lots that was appealing about them, which is why I think possibly, you know, my brand's quite strong now, because I think you've got to stand out and it's got to feel like part of an extension of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're redoing our brand at the moment, actually, and actually... You can't underestimate, to use your word, how much that is an extension of your passion and what you believe in. And trying to get that out into the brand is really important.
And I think that's a really interesting point because, you know, I've worked with hundreds of companies when they talk about rebranding over my last like 15 years of experience. And it is that kind of throwaway comment. It's like, oh, you know, we're a bit quiet, you know, let's do something, let's rebrand. And to your point, I think you underestimate just the value and time and effort that it takes. And once you start going down that road, it's a bit like a rabbit hole. You kind of go, well, actually, yeah. No, I've really got to think about all the elements of what I'm trying to achieve for my you know, value proposition of my brand. And you really sit there and it takes a long time to do it. You know, I've done it before where we've taken 2 years to do it.
Absolutely.
But it's really important because I think to your point is it's you reflected into your business.
Yes.
And that's really nice because, you know, we talk about brand identity, you know, individual brand identity, corporate brand identity, and 15, 20 years ago, it was predominantly corporate identity. There wasn't this brand, individual brand identity.
Yeah.
Social media didn't really exist. Mm. Estate agents, recruiters, all these kind of sales roles, we'd always talk about it, but never really had anything to back it up because the tech just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we're talking about the value proposition of you as an individual and the value of that, you know, and we'll talk about exits and moving on later, but that is now as important as your brand.
Absolutely.
Value. And you get sucked into that because you realise how important that is.
Yeah.
There's only one, not one chance to get it, but when you're doing it, that's the only chance to make the impact.
Yeah.
And it needs to be right. And I know it's something we've talked about earlier in the year, this year, and gone back and forth a bit on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think someone like Richard Branson's a great epitome of that, isn't it? Because it's about that ownership and that founder, owner kind of, this is very much my brand and I embody my brand. And I think that's probably the greatest example you can have.
Yeah, I don't think there's really probably a sentence that people talk about the Virgin brand without Richard Branson
exactly.
being a sentence. And,
yeah.
And again, you know, you look at Dragon's Den and James Caan always pops up, and it's that brand association and building your brand and your business is you.
Yes.
And it's really important getting that right. So after you then worked with these two ladies in recruitment, what did you do after that?
I actually did set up my own recruitment business then with someone from the team. We did it for a couple of years, but we actually set it up in 2008.
Oh, okay.
And to be honest, Tom, we absolutely bombed, if I'm honest.
Great. The economy might have had something to do with it.
The economy might have had something to do with it. It was actually quite poor timing for me personally, and I just wasn't ready to do it. And.
Yeah.
We made a lot of sort of rookie errors, silly mistakes, and I think we were sort of caught up in having the status of a business rather than actually kind of putting the real mileage in to really make it work.
Was that naivety, inexperience, a bit of both?
Bit of both.
Did you just want, a bit of both?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think to where I've got to now in my business, I'd had that experience, obviously, and had some time in between. But I think I started with the foundations with this business, King, with, saying, right, okay, I'm going to slowly find my way into the market. I'm not going to go big and bold to start off with.
Yeah.
I'm going to test, just get started.
Get some foundations.
I'd even done a bookkeeping course with my husband's business. So I think things like that were really crucial in having a backbone behind it, sort of knowing the mechanics of how a business works. And
so you learn from the lessons at least.
Yeah,
you know,
I
despite
did.
The economy, I mean, obviously you could have used that as an excuse.
We could have done.
You know, so how long did that business then last for?
A couple of years.
So you had that for 2 years with your partner. You then decided, obviously, around 2008 wasn't the best time to start businesses, as many other people would agree with you. At that point, did you think to yourself, do you know what, I'm going to have to go back to work for somebody else? Because, you know, in some sense, you could have seen that as a failure, despite the economy, and, you know, taking that out of the equation, going, you know what, we were inexperienced, we were naive, it's not the right time.
Mm.
Was there ever a point that you thought, you know, that's it for me, you know, I've tried it once, you know, I got burnt, I'm not doing that again?
I sort of did, but I kind of came full circle. So I then went back, I did some insurance sales for a little bit,
okay.
which I was top seller, actually. I only worked there for about 6 months. But my old boss, so Calibre sold to Select Appointments, who sold to Randstad.
Yep.
So my old boss then said, can you come back?
Right.
So I went and I worked for Randstad, and I hated that.
So it reaffirmed hell.
It was awful.
It reaffirmed what you had already done when you first got into recruitment.
Yeah.
It was that big corporate entity. You know,
yeah,
and they are super
definitely.
Successful, but yeah. I think, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you work for somebody, you know, you find your niche and you stick to it. And I
yeah.
think obviously, clearly, that's not your niche, your personality, your business personality.
No,
at least. So then what was the motivation then at that point? Was it, I need to get out of corporate?
So I actually fell out of love with recruitment. So
okay.
Randstad sort of bashed that out of me. And speaking to lots of other people, they've had the similar experience in being in a corporate recruitment, high street, whatever you want to describe it as. And I actually then, I got some life decisions going on, like getting married and having kids. So actually it was a good segue to kind of step out. And I didn't think I was going to return. Worked for my husband's business for a bit. He's got a big hair salon, did an online shop, did some bookkeeping, did some marketing. And actually, sort of 2 years into that, a friend of mine said, oh, we're really struggling to recruit. Can you help? And I said, yeah, of course I can. Did a piece of recruitment for them just on the side. And it was probably the easiest money that I'd made, you know, sort of doing an online shop was not exactly that lucrative in a competitive hair product market. And it was actually my husband who went, why aren't you doing this for yourself?
Right, was it?
And my late father-in-law, he had cancer, and I was sort of helping him get into the car one day, and he looked up at me and he said, this recruitment thing that you do, he said, you should do that.
Wow.
That's what you should do.
I imagine that being quite impactful.
Yeah.
At the time.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
really stuck.
On one hand, you've got your husband kicking you out of the business that is his.
Yes, like, go away.
Don't know how to take that.
Yeah.
But on the other flip side is, you know, seeing that natural ability and going, you're probably not best placed here. You could be doing a lot better. You know, mentally, you know, financially, it's kind of, you're missing a trick a little bit.
Yeah.
And then having your father-in-law kind of reaffirm that in one straight line is like, heavy hitting.
yeah. And I think I was ready for it at that point as well. I was ready because I'd always had that dream of starting my own business. And I'd always had the dream of having a super successful recruitment and search business in the Southwest, which is with the original plan of the previous business. So it just felt like the right.
So you had a good network around you, kind of reaffirming what I guess you did already know. You knew that you were, you know, like I said, the top biller in insurance. You'd been good at recruitment in corporate environments. But I guess you had others close to you kind of motivating you, reaffirming that confidence in you to take that leap of faith.
Yeah. And I think that's especially important, isn't it, when you've had a sort of young family. I had two sort of really young kids kicking around as well.
Yeah.
But actually I felt that, I think what's been different about this is I have felt quite confident at every stage with this business. It's possibly because I'm just running it, you know, it's mine.
Yes.
I wasn't sharing it with anyone this time. And the onus was on me to make it successful. And really I'd got to the point where I didn't want to rely on my husband. I wanted to, you know, effectively make my own money, but be successful and really go for it.
And doing that as a working mum, back then, a young working mum with two kids?
Yeah, two really young
kids. And your husband with his own business.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you look at it from an outsider's point of view, you know, obviously the trend is you come out of university, you go into a job and you stick it out for a bit and you move on. And obviously there's the entrepreneurial, you know, personality within you. But even with your husband, I mean, that seems to be quite a theme of the family. How do you then stay motivated? Because having kids is, well, two jobs in itself with two kids, your husband having his own job, then you starting a new job or new business. How do you stay focused on balancing all of that?
Such a good question, Tom.
Because if you could tell us the answer, then a lot of people would be very happy.
I think it's having a big enough reason why you're doing it all. I'm mid-40s now, and I know that this is my chance, this is my opportunity to do this. I'm not going to have another opportunity to do this. And I don't want to turn around in my early 50s and go, do you know what? I sort of missed the opportunity. Yeah. The window's gone.
Yeah.
That would be such a massive regret for me.
Yeah.
So that's what's driving me. And the fact that the first business didn't really work, that's the other real driver. Plus, I love what I do.
Yeah.
And how do I kind of stay motivated most of the time? I mean, I read a lot. I listen, you know, this, we're on a podcast now. I listen to loads of podcasts. I just listen to really super positive stuff.
Yeah.
I do all the things you should do, like loads of exercise, and I don't drink a lot of alcohol except for this weekend because we're in London. That's a done thing. And I know where I'm heading, and I know,
yeah,
you know, what I want to achieve out of it. And I've got people that rely on me, clearly, in the business as well.
Yeah, whole team now.
I want to be successful. I also like the fact that, you know, from a female perspective, that's quite inspiring to hopefully to other women as well. There's so many women that don't reach their potential.
Yeah.
I see lots of mums. No disrespect to mums whatsoever. Sorry if I offend anyone. But there's so many women that don't sort of take the leap. And they don't feel confident in themselves, and they don't reach their full potential.
Yeah.
And that does actually quite frustrate me, because I think you could do so much.
It's a really valuable point, and you look at our portfolio and the female to male ratio, you know.
Yeah.
That, it's fantastic that I think even arguably we're over 50% female, or we're heading that way. And, you know, even in senior leadership throughout the businesses, and obviously I'm married, I've got kids, so like I see what my wife does and how hard she works. And to your point is, and I guess that's my point on the motivation, is you do have your hands full when you have kids as a working mum or a working dad, and taking that leap of faith is really, really, really big step. So I think your points on kind of mindfulness, I guess, you know, mental health, reading, you don't drink so much, you balance your life quite well by the sounds of it. And that's been quite a big impact into the success that you've had today so far.
Yeah, definitely. I've also taken quite a lot from, you know, listening to some of the greats, like the Tony Robbins of this world, and Tim Ferriss, apart from the 4-Hour Working Week, wrote a book called Tools of Titans. And in that, he's basically interviewed all the top performing people around the world that are super successful in every genre, whether it's Zen or whether it's, you know, people like Tony Robbins or Richard Branson or athletes, etc. And the sort of clues are there in terms of how, what you need to do to be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the top things is exercise by a country mile. Another one is meditation. Another one is reading a lot.
Sounds like I should read this book.
Yeah. It's like a Bible.
Yeah.
Keep it on your coffee table and dip into it. But I mean, you know, if you're sort of wondering, how can I be successful? How can I, you know, stay motivated? I think you just, there's loads of help and clues to kind of then implement that in your own life.
And I think in England as well, when you look at the weather, like, I don't know if it's just me, but there's a lot of ways to get out of doing things. There's always an excuse for something. Be it kids, be it the weather.
Yeah.
There's always an excuse. And I think having those tools, you know, those psychological mental health tools to go, actually, just do A, B and C. We're not saying to do it, you know, run a marathon a day, but those simple tools and tasks will, you know, over time, you'll certainly see a change in that. Has a knock-on effect on your mental health, that knock-on effect on your motivation. And then obviously for yourself, that business to where you started, King, you know, you've carried those through clearly all the way through to today.
Yes. Yeah.
So when that journey of King had started, you'd learnt your lessons from previous experience, you'd been motivated by the nearest and dearest around you, you took your time with the foundations, you got off to a great start. What was the motivation then to think, okay, I've got to a point where I'm going to look for external support, financially, coaching, mentoring, or office back office support. What went through your mind? You know, was that a decision, kind of, you know, a light bulb moment for you, or was that through conversations with your closest again?
I'd had a couple of years where I just felt I needed something else in the business, to knowing that I wanted to grow, scale, and exit. And knowing that I could carry on making the sort of same mistakes that a lot of recruitment companies do. You know, there's always that adage, isn't it? You can't get beyond the sort of 6 to 8 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be a pipe dream to think that you're going to sell the business effectively. And I just also wanted some additional expertise. And I was thinking, is that a mentor? Is it a business partner? Or is it someone that's going to come and invest in my business and help me on the journey?
Yeah.
And then I think COVID really was the defining point for me, in that I sat there thinking, do I still really want this? I dug really deep because I furloughed my team, and I thought, do I still want this? And the resounding answer was yes. So I thought, right, now that's it. Now's the time. Now's the time to grow, scale. I'm totally ready.
Yeah.
And towards the end of that year, that's when I started talking to RE.
That point, that stat is, I think we used, I think it's over the last, I think it's 2020 or 2021, 73% of recruitment businesses in the UK don't grow above 10 heads.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know firsthand how hard that is. I mean, obviously, economy, COVID didn't help matters. But even you take that away, you know, and I've been talking to a couple of people recently, and it's always, oh, when I get new people on, I've got to take a month out of my time, at least, to onboard them. Therefore, the billings go down there. Therefore, you know, the HR doesn't get done, or IT slips. And, you know, as a CEO, we always talk about this quite a lot, is, you know, you've got many hats as one person. And arguably, it's a near impossible job to do. So when you started looking, it was on that premise of, to your point, of the coaching, mentoring and support to kind of alleviate that those pain points for your business to allow that growth?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that. And also to find something for myself to, you know, to support me on the journey and to feel that I'm not running my business on my own anymore.
Yeah. How does that feel though? From you've done at this point, you know, just under 20 years of where you have done pretty much everything on your own. You've dictated your own career, your own job choices, setting up, closing business and doing it again. Has there ever been a point where you felt like you're giving away part of your business and that's now out of your control?
No, not really. Because again, I felt like I've made the right decision and that welcoming all the benefit that that brings.
Yeah, you've got to make it work for you and your business.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like someone's come into your business and started to run it for you at all.
Yeah,
it feels, as I keep using the word support, but it feels like you're being supported in... Yes. Driving your business forward without any kind of confines, really.
Yeah.
It's not a sort of corporate setup. It's more of an entrepreneurial setup.
Quite similar to what you had from your immediate family, kind of back then telling you to go off and do this.
Yeah.
Having that confidence from a partner saying, no, actually, no, go off and do this. And if it doesn't work 100% as you expected, I guess, at some times, that we'll be there to help you through that and we'll look and see how we do it again differently without the major stresses of, yes, this could make or break my business because there's only me and two other people.
Yeah.
So now you've been partnered with Recruitment Entrepreneur for 2 years?
Nearly two years. Year and a half, I think it is, actually.
So it sounds like on target for a really good year this year.
It's been a fantastic year, and I don't know where it's gone, to be honest, but I think you're always sort of looking at the, we're now looking at 2023, aren't we? So, it's kind of onwards and upwards. What's next, effectively? And you can't really ever, you can't ever stop. You can't ever take your foot off the accelerator. Yeah. You can't ever stop thinking about it.
Someone it's a passion project.
Definitely. someone who worked for me for 5 years, actually, she's actually was inspired to go off and set up her own business. Wow. So she actually... left us in sort of January, February, and I met up with her recently and she said, oh, I just want to speak to you about how you switch off.
Yeah.
I said, I've got some really bad news. I've got some really bad news for you, because you never really switch off. You just got to find better ways of balancing.
Yes, yeah.
How you manage that kind of downtime, how you manage your schedule, and trying not to get burnt out, and making sure you're finding enough time for
absolutely great advice. And I think, you know, when we look at like your LinkedIn profile that we were talking about earlier, and one thing I always push as well, you know, this individual brand and corporate brand that we touched on earlier, is you do a lot of charity runs. You ran 10K recently. You're very active and keep fit. And I guess to your point, it's always about going home, sitting on the sofa and switching off. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I definitely do that. But you're very focused in changing your motivation from business work to straight into running, keeping fit. You know, so you're just busier in different ways. But it kind of cleanses your mind in the ways that you enjoy doing it.
Oh, you summed it up perfectly there, Tom.
I don't know why I gave you the answer.
Yeah, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Makes me feel like I should start running.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, some people find relaxation in, sitting on the sofa and chilling out or going for a spa day. But, we spend a lot of time in the office and I'm just a really outdoors person. So the last thing I'd want to do at the weekend is sit in. I want to be out. I want to be active. That's my relaxation. That's how I... vent, and I guess, challenge myself in a different way.
Yes.
But I can't imagine myself sort of sitting for too long. Just quite an active person, really, Tom.
I think it helps in your part of the world. I was lucky enough to come to your offices a couple of months back in the summer. Windsor Park, beautiful surroundings, still like hundreds of acres when I drove down the big drive. So it's quite easy to run around there and be impressed. So, you know, obviously when you look back at that now, was that quite a core moment in your business and gone, not that I've made it, kind of, that was a really big leap for you because they're really stunning offices. You've got a team of six now, you're having a record year. Is there a part of you that ever thinks, you know what, to your statement is take your foot off the gas? Because, you know, from an outsider's point of view, it looks great, it's doing really well, you're hiring new people and you've got growth plans for next year. And do you think, actually, do you know what, I can take that couple of weeks and I will just switch off? Or do you feel if I do that, it won't go so well next year?
Well, we're doing 1 week of skiing at Christmas with kids and family and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, we will definitely be, you know, switching off there. I don't think if you're building a business and growing a business, when can you ever sort of take your foot off the gas? I don't think you can.
Yes.
I think you can have moments and it's important. And actually, you know, that driveway up to Winslade is beautiful. And every morning I drive up and I think, oh, wow, it looks great.
Yes.
It's a really beautiful spot. And, we moved there. So the team have got a great place to work. We're building a culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think if you're trying to encourage people to be in a team and come to work and enjoy coming to work, you've got to be in a beautiful place, haven't you, where it's buzzy, there's lots of other business going on, rather than sort of just stuck out on a retail park or that sort of thing. A bit like the offices here.
Yes, absolutely.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very buzzy.
Very buzzy.
And I think that's really important. You know, we talked about building an individual brand and then the corporate brand. But then you are building a culture at the same time, you know, inadvertently to start with. And then we focused on that. Sometimes that comes quite naturally. But in recruitment, especially the working from home scenario that's kind of come after COVID, going back to the motivation point is people like working from home. We've seen that, you know, when you've seen that probably more, where it's the question is how many days can I work from home being, you know, when you're finding about the job?
Yes.
Whereas if you'd ever asked that question before, I think the recruiter probably would have just hung up on you because they just think you're unmotivated, you're lazy, it's not going to happen. Whereas now it's quite a big part of it. Do you have that set up with your business, the working from home hybrid model?
Hybrid, 3 days in, 2 days at home. Everybody loves it. Great balance. It works well for everyone. Yeah. There's enough of a buzz.
Yeah, and it keeps that culture.
It keeps
and that motivation.
The culture. I think that's really super important. And I'm seeing quite a lot of people that have, you know, have been working at home full time and they've really lost their kind of mojo, you know, and they've not realised it either. They didn't realise they've just been chained to their kitchen table or whatever, and they've kind of lost confidence and lost that kind of spark buzz, you know, in themselves. We've just had someone who's just joined the team actually who has been working from home for the last 2 years, and she said, I've kind of ended up forgetting who I was in a way.
Your own personal identity.
Yeah. And she said, my neighbour actually said, God, you look so much better. She's brighter, lighter.
Yeah.
You know, we're people, aren't we, in recruitment? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that mix.
It's worked well.
We're never going to go back, are we? So.
No, and I think if you can think there's, you know, hundreds and thousands now of case studies of, you know, we're even talking about the 4 day week now. Working from home has been massively successful, and obviously, not that you'd wish COVID on the world again, but it's, you know, probably the only good thing is that people have got that work-life balance that was really difficult to get, especially being young parents or just parents in general. It was really hard to balance that out, and now actually it's given people that back. But I think it, you know, there is a worry that it did go the other way, obviously during lockdown and soon afterwards, is being locked at home, whether you're in a small apartment or a big house, you know, you weren't seeing people, and it did have a massive detrimental effect on people, and that motivation was nigh impossible. And obviously there was people, you know, PTs that came out of the woodwork that were trying to motivate people, which was fantastic. But I think the level that we've got now, if you can make that work for your business, keep the team motivated, keep the culture there and the brand going, it's a really nice balance to have.
Absolutely. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
I think COVID did such a great service for recruiters because effectively now we now have a system in place for if we have another pandemic or something else goes wrong, we can now interview and onboard remotely.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, you know, for the recruitment industry, it's actually been quite revolutionary because it's, you know, it isn't going to all stop next time if something else happens, is it?
So I guess the other thing that COVID also helped, to your point about recruitment, you know, we're prepared for it, is when you looked at companies and recruitment companies that were global companies prior to the pandemic, it was quite a heavy statement, because to be a global recruitment company was hard hitting. You know, people were flying around the world. Mm-hmm. You had these relationships with people in Australia and America and so on. And it was quite hard for the smaller companies to break into that market, where actually now it's really opened the doors. To your point is, jump on a Teams call. As long as you don't mind working it slightly later or slightly earlier, then that's really opened the doors for the potential growth. You know, we talk about scale through to an exit. Obviously, that's going to add a huge amount of value when you look at the clients that you're working with, you know, across 24-hour regions, different sectors and expanding. And that must have made an impact to your business.
I wouldn't have considered the international side before I joined RE, in all fairness, but it's definitely on the agenda in terms of our sort of future growth. And obviously, clearly with COVID, that's a strong possibility as well, to just go and do that. If you can work out the time zones, if they work with your work life
balance. You're running, you're reading your podcast and working 24 hours a day now.
Or maybe, you know, task one of your really keen team members to do the American thing, you know, that sort of thing. But there's loads of options, isn't there? Yeah. I quite like the idea of Japan. That would be quite cool.
Yeah, especially if we can get a business trip out of it.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the thing, the opportunity now, despite COVID, the growth, technology is always going to improve. And you look at where King started out, you know, when you're on your own and you've built your team, you've built your sectors, you're building out your geographies. What would be your motivational speech as somebody sitting here listening going, do you know what, it sounds like a lot of hard work. Clearly, to be successful in anything, it genuinely is. What would your advice be to somebody? You know, what would you kind of tell your younger self and these people out there going, really thinking about it, going, do you know what, this is what I want to do?
Well, clearly, I think you should just go and do it and go try it. You only live once. But in all seriousness, I think you've just got to have a big enough compelling reason. And if that reason is to grow, sale and exit, fantastic. Or you really want to make an impact on the local economy where you live, or you've got a passion for a particular sector, that's always a good place to start. But I think someone asked me this the other day, who wants to start his own recruitment business, and he said, oh, how did you do it? What did you do? What's your advice? And I said, just make a start. It can be really simple to start off with. You don't need to overthink it. You don't need to overthink a website or anything like that. You've got all the tools. You've got laptop, phone, LinkedIn.
And just go for it.
That is it. Just go for it. And as you sort of develop and grow year on year, that's when you really start getting into the groove in terms of what the overall, you know, sort of grand master plan is, and what the business is going to, how it's going to shape and develop.
And it'll evolve.
And it keeps evolving all the time anyway. So, you know, that's the world that we're in, isn't it? So
yeah, I think that's good advice. I think one foot forward and just go for it.
Yeah, take the action.
Great. Helen, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Tom.
Good luck to see what King does in the next year.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks.